2 Corinthians chapter 5, turn there. 2 Corinthians 5. Two little girls were talking, said, "Why is Grandma always reading the Bible?" And said, "Because I think she's studying for her final exam." You know, the Bible tells us that we are going to be accountable. Does everybody have study sheets? Anybody not have a study sheet? Raise your hand if you do not have study sheets. The dictionary says that accountability is the state of being liable to answer for one's conduct, to receive reward or punishment. It means to accept responsibility. We're living in an age that plays down personal responsibility. But the Bible teaches us that we all are accountable. And we've looked at, in last week's study, we looked at what is accountability, and we found that accountability is taking personal responsibility for our actions. It's not our parents' fault. It's not our neighborhood's fault. It's not your friend's fault. You make your choices. Secondly, we asked who is accountable, and we looked at Romans 14 and found that everyone shall give an account for themselves before God. So the Bible teaches us that everyone is going to give an account. All of us. And then thirdly, we looked at what are we accountable for. And we gave, I think, three. We are accountable for every word that we speak. The Bible tells us that those things that we have uttered in our closets shall be shouted from rooftops. We are also accountable for our thoughts. Even the things that you think about, you're going to answer to God for. And then thirdly, we are accountable for the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, tonight we begin with number four. And notice what it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Everybody find that and look at verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And notice verse 10. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now, from this we learn, number four, we are all accountable for personal sins. You know, it is your life. You can do as you choose. God does not take captives. God is looking for volunteers. You do not have to serve Jesus. You don't have to love God. You don't have to worship Him. You don't have to live by His standards or His rules. You can write your own Bible. You can live life as you choose. No one can force you. Your parents can't force you. Your husband can't force you. Your wife can't make you. The preacher can't make you do what you don't want to do. God will not force you. But just understand this. Whatever choices you make, you are accountable for them. You're a big boy, you're a big girl, you can go out and live however you want to. But you will give an account before a holy God for every choice that you make. We are accountable for our sins. Just because somebody else does something foolish doesn't mean that you want to do it. I was visiting a young man years ago in a jail. And so I asked him why he did something. He said, "Cause my friends do it." And I saw a cigarette lighter sitting there on the desk. And I reached over and I got that lighter and just lit it. I said, "Stick your finger in it." He said, "What?" I said, "Stick your finger in it." He said, "I'm not going to do that." I said, "Why not?" He said, "Cause that hurt. I'm not going to stick my finger." And I said, "Well, what about if I put mine in there?" "You can be a fool if you want to. I'm not putting mine in there." And I said, "You know, if a guy's smart enough to keep his finger out of the fire, you'd think he'd be smart enough to keep his body out of the fire, wouldn't you?" Just because somebody else does something don't you be foolish enough. We are all personally accountable for our sins. Your friends won't be with you. Your husband won't be with you. Your wife won't be you at the judgment. It's going to be you. We are accountable for our personal sins. Turn to Matthew chapter 23. The same place that I left my glasses at last Wednesday night. They're in that same suit coat tonight. Matthew, I don't ever take those glasses home with me. I leave them in the pulpit. I leave them here except when I'm preaching. So I was preaching Tuesday morning at a meeting, and then I had a funeral service Tuesday afternoon. And so I took the glasses with me, and I always have a place I put everything that I take back, but I left those glasses in that coat pocket. So I'm with these again. My granny glasses. Matthew chapter 23. Look, but I am older. Yeah, right. I'm a year older, so. Senior moment. That's what it is. Yes. Thanks for reminding me of that. She gave me a little more information than I really wanted to have. Matthew chapter 23, or wanted you to have for that matter. Look at verse 34. Matthew 23 verses 34 through 36. It says, "Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men." We're in Matthew 23 verse 34. "I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall you scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation." I want you to notice that from this we learn we are accountable for how we treat the servants of God. How we treat the servants of God. We are going to give an account. I know the Bible tells us that there are special rewards that are reserved. There's a soul winner's crown that everybody can have. But the Bible tells us there's also a special crown that God has for His men. For those that are in service to Him. There's a crown that's reserved. But the Bible tells us that you can receive that crown by receiving that man of God. What does that mean? That means when you help the man of God complete his mandate. Whatever it is that God's called him to do. When you assist in that, when you do what you can to help him carry out what God's called him to do, then the Bible tells us that you can share in that reward. The Scripture also teaches that if you do anything to cause a man of God to stumble, if you do something to pull him back, to hold him back, to slow him down, you will answer to God for what you're doing. So it's important that we realize that we are not only accountable for personal sins, but we are accountable for how we treat the servant of God. We try always here at Starlight, and you are so good to me. And Sunday was no exception to that. Thank you for the beautiful cards that you gave me and the birthday gifts and everything that you did, all the expressions. I just can't tell you how much that means to me and how... what a blessing it is, and you are so good to me. But you're not only good to me. This church is good to the men of God that God sends this way. And I'm grateful for that. I appreciate that. And I believe that God will bless the church that takes care of the man of God. And so that's important if we're going to have God's blessing, that we treat God's people right. And those that lead, those that that are in that position, they're in the line where Satan is going to attack them. And so they need you to circle around them. And so it's important. We want to always be sure that when God's men come to be with us, we are very fortunate to have people come to share in our work and be in our pulpit. And when they come, show them some love, all right? That's important that we do that. We are accountable how we treat the servants of God. Number six, turn to Luke chapter 12. I said number four, we're accountable for personal sins. Number five, we're accountable for how we treat servants of God. And then in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Now, look at verse 48. It says, "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes, but unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." Underline that phrase, "From whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required." Now, from this we learn we are accountable for the resources that God lends to us. To whom much is given, much is required. Have you thought about generationally? You know, the Bible teaches us that with God, time is nothing. A day is at 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. But can you imagine over the past day of God, in the past 1,000 years, how the resource distribution has changed? This group here tonight has been really blessed. And so, you know, we've got so much, so many things, and we really have it relatively easy, don't we? And I'm not trying to minimize your stress and some of the difficulties that you go through, and you may have a job that's very demanding. But I'm saying that when we really compare ourselves to the workloads that people carried even 100 years ago, we got to feel blessed, aren't we? There are a lot of folks. I remember when I went to school, I remember girls that would come to school with dresses that were made out of flour sacks. This was not something rare, but a lot of little girls that I went to school with back in the earlier 50s, to early to mid-50s. Mothers would buy flour in sacks because the flour company learned that this would be something, a way to sell their flour, and they would put them in decorative material, and they would empty those sacks of the flour, and then they would make curtains and make dresses and make all kinds of things out of them. I can remember if you had two pair of shoes, I mean, that was splurging just a little bit. Yeah. We're rich. I can remember one time my mother was old school. She never got out of that. She just never could ever come into this day and time. And I've told you about how that mom... To mother, bologna was really, that was a luxury, to go get bologna. And she'd bribe us kids, you know, if we'll get that cotton picked and get that out by Friday, we'd take that bale of cotton to the gin, we'll get a pound of bologna, we'll get a carton of Pepsi Colas. And sometimes we even would get a half gallon of vanilla ice milk. You get the ice cream, that stuff was expensive. And boy, I mean, man, cut off our whole neck, we could have some of that. And mother would, and sometimes we'd get that bologna, and boy, he'd slice a piece of that bologna off. And mother would come to our house, and my wife would have just a beautiful meal fixed. And sometimes my mother would look in the refrigerator, and she'd say, "You know, Glenn," she said, "if you got enough of it, boy, I would sure love to have piece of that bologna." One time we were riding along, boy, and I stopped and we pulled this little deal, and she got her a hamburger, I think, and everything, and some French fries and a Coke. We were driving along. She looked over me and she looked at me and said, "Ain't we something? Just sitting up here like we somebody." You know, that's precious, isn't it? Do you reckon before God that we're going to all be accountable for a lot of resources? The Bible tells us that we're going to give an account for the resources that God lends to us. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4. Look at verse 1. "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that suffereth in the flesh shall have ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the times past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness and lust and excess of wine and revelings and banquetings and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give an account to him that's ready to judge the quick and the dead?" Notice that we are accountable, number 7, for the activities that we engage in. We are going to give an account for the activities that we engage in. You be careful that you don't get drawn into something by a mutual friend, by someone that you work with, an old high school mate, somebody that's around you. You see, that's what the devil most frequently uses. He uses people to entice us. And so it's important that we recognize that we're going to be accountable for the activities that we are involved in. That's why it's important that we form a life habit of having godly activities. You see, you're going to fill your life with something. You're going to do something. And if it's not spiritual things, then you'll find other things. But just know this, that we're going to be accountable for the things that we engage in. Make sure there are not things that would dishonor our God. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We are accountable for the activities that we engage in. Matthew chapter 6. I said that we're accountable for personal sins. We're accountable for how we treat servants of God. We're accountable for the resources that God lends to us. We're accountable for the activities that we engage in. And then Matthew chapter 6, and look at verses 14 and 15. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So from this we learn we are accountable for the forgiveness that we grant to others. We are accountable for the forgiveness that we grant to others. When you stand before God, if you've not granted forgiveness, you're going to be accountable for that. Now, you know what? If you're going to have to forgive them then, you'd get a whole lot more mileage out of it if you just go ahead and do it now. Amen? Go ahead and do it now so you can move past it and you can live and you can enjoy life. We're accountable for the forgiveness. I spoke on that Sunday for a while, so we'll not dwell there. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Things that we are accountable for. What are we going to answer before God? Well, Romans chapter 12. Look at verses 3 through 8. For I say, Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. From what he's telling us here is that we are going to be accountable to God for the development of our spiritual gifts. We are going to be accountable for the development of our spiritual gifts. Look at Romans 14. Romans 14. Look at verse 7. Romans 14, verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself. You're not here just about you. You get that? It's not just about you. You have a life's purpose. You have a life's mission. God has a reason for your being on His planet. And the key to that reason is to look at the gifts that He gives you, your spiritual gifts. And He gives you those gifts not for you to pad your nest with. He gives you those gifts to further His kingdom with. Everybody here has gifts. You've got spiritual gifts. Or at least you have the capacity for that gift. You may never develop it. You may never make it usable. Because you just let it lie there. And you either hide under the cloak of being shy, or you're just downright lazy, or you are so... You allow your life to be so cluttered that you can't seem to find time to develop or use your gift. But I want you to understand something. You don't live to yourself. You're accountable not just for what you have, but for what God gave you. You're to take it and develop it and go with it. None of us lives to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to me, and so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. We're going to give an account for the development of our spiritual gifts. Whatever it is that God's given you, He wants you to use it for Him. Are you with me? He wants you to use it for Him. And in the church, there's a place for you to serve. Did you know that when you joined this church, God knew you were coming? And you know that God sent you along with your package? Your package is your gifts. Whatever your gifts are, they're supposed to be available to be used here. You're supposed to make us known. You're supposed to let us know, preacher, I can play a piano if you need a backup pianist. Preacher, I'll be happy to teach. I have taught before. Preacher, I'll be happy to work with the children. Preacher, I'll work in the nursery. I'll take my turn. You know, it should never be that a handful of ladies have to just work all the time in the nursery. You know, preacher, I wish I could sing. I'd sure do it for God. Can you change a diaper? If you won't use what you can do, don't run out all this stuff about what all you'd do for God if you had it. Every lady in this church, unless you're physically impaired, ought to take your turn in the nursery. Every one of you. I'd be ashamed. I really would. I'd be ashamed. Well, I think the ones that's got babies, I'll tell you what you do. You let everybody that's got babies just bring them in, set them right behind you. And you see how much you enjoy worship. No, it's not just about the ones that's got babies. Everybody ought to serve in the nursery, unless you're physically not able, and there's some that are not able. Everybody else ought to do it, because you can. And you know what? If everybody did that, everybody would turn, would come around maybe once every 3 months, 4 months. But instead, there are some that wind up in there almost every week, and that's not healthy. That's not spiritually healthy. They need worship. Amen? You're going to answer to God for what you can do, but you choose not to do. And a lot of people sacrifice what they can do on the altar of what I would do. Boy, I'm telling you, if I could win the lottery, I'd really do something for God. Yeah, I'll go ahead and run that out while you rob God of his tithe every week. Amen? If you're stealing from God, you're a thief. And if you're a thief, you're not going to do nothing for God if he gave you something. Now, come on, I'm loving on you. We're going to give an account to God for our spiritual gifts. Are you looking for a way that you can use yours and serve him? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, what are we accountable for? We're going to give an account to God. What for? Well, the Bible tells us we're going to account for every word we speak, for our thoughts, for the golden rule, for personal sins in our life, for how we treat servants of God. We're going to give an account for the resources God lends us. We're going to give an account for the activities that we engage in, for the forgiveness we grant or refuse to grant, for the development of our spiritual gifts. And look at verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Notice that the Bible teaches us that we're going to be accountable for all of our actions. We're going to be accountable for all of our actions. Everything. You see, God is not just interested in what you do, but the style that you do it in. Amen? You know, you can do something, but do it with the wrong spirit. All right, I'm going to come up here and help with that stupid game dinner, but I tell you right now, I don't have very many Saturdays, and I resent it. You just lost your reward. And that is so sad. You may have very few of them. You might not afford to lose a whole lot of them. You know, you can put your offering in the offering plate, but if you resent it, you just lost the reward. Have you ever got on your children? They did what you told them to do, but they did it with the wrong spirit. Do you have the right spirit about coming to church, about driving your bus, about coming to choir practice, about working with the children, about helping out? Do you have the right spirit? Are you here, or are you here going looking around, well, I wonder where so-and-so is. Why don't they ever help? Wrong spirit. You ought to do what you do for Jesus, whether anybody else does anything or not. If they do not, that is their problem. You ought to be glad for an opportunity to serve. Amen? We're going to be accountable to God for our actions. 1 Corinthians 4. Look at verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So from this we learn, number 11, we are accountable for stewardship. We're going to give an account to God for what kind of stewards we've been over what resources God has made available to us. Stewardship. Turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. What are we accountable for? Everybody look it up. Luke chapter 4. Everybody find it in your own Bible. Look at verse 4. And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." From this we learn we are going to be accountable for the word of God. You know, God wrote you a love letter. Have you ever opened it? Have you ever read it all the way through? You know, there are people that for hundreds of years gave their life never even getting to actually see the Word of God. There are people on the world today that this is the greatest gift you can give them, is their very own Bible. Brother Vineyard talked about when the Soviet Union came down and they were able to get behind that iron curtain and get out on the streets, and they carried Bibles. And of course, Brother Vineyard was a Green Beret, and his language, his second language that he had was Russian. And so when that opened up, that gave him a great opportunity, and he would talk about how that they would come with Bibles, Russian Bibles. And they would stand in line to get their Bible and stand there and just weep that they actually had their very own copy of God's Word. And it is so available to us. We're going to be accountable to God for His Word. You know, there is no excuse for not knowing the Bible today. There are so many helps available. Bookstores are just full of tools. There's computer tools that you can get on your... I've got a program on my computer, and man, I can be reading a passage, and I can just point my little... Just point that little thing at anything on it, and boy, it opens up windows. It'll give me the Greek word and the meaning of the Greek word. It'll give me commentaries and comments, and just by pointing it, I don't even have to look it up. It just a second. I mean, man, the tools. I can't believe the tools. It is so much different today than it was 20 years ago. The time it takes me to prepare a study now, it's not a tenth of what it used to take. There's no excuse now. None. And we're going to give an account. People know more about Mutt and Jeff than they do about Paul and Silas. I mean, folks can stand up and you can tell all about the movie stars. You know who they are, who they married to, when they were born, what they died, where they lived, everything about them. But you don't know who in the world, you know, you have to figure out who Barnabas is. It's not right. We're going to be accountable for the Word of God. You know, you can come to this church Sunday morning at 9:30 and sit in a Sunday school class and hear the Bible taught from cover to cover. And you know what's amazing? It's free. It's free. We teach the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Every 7 years, we go all the way through the Bible. And it's age specific. Your children can get it in their class. The teens can get it in theirs. The adults can get it in theirs. And all sit on their level. And it's free of charge. You can come in here on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and hear the Word of God taught and explained. Broke down where anybody can understand it. That's what I told my dad. Any idiot can understand. And it's free. And folks won't get out of bed and come to Sunday school. Sleep in. Come dragging in here. Keep your kids out of Sunday school. You're going to give an account for it. And that's sad. We're looking at a generation of people today whose kids are not going to have the legacy you had growing up in Sunday school because of you. We're going to give an account for the Word of God. Number 13, turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. In verses 14 through 30, Jesus teaches the parable about the talents or the money that was loaned. And you know the story, how that one was given five and one was given two and one was given one. The one that was given the five took them, invested it, and then God called him to come and give an account, and he had the five that God gave him, and here was the five more that he gained, and the one that two did the same thing. Both of them heard the very same words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We do not all have the same opportunities. We do not all have the same talent. But there was one that was given one, and he took the one and did nothing with it, went and hid it. And we know that when he was called to give an account before God, that God was very upset with him. And the Bible tells us that because of this, that God told him that he was foolish. And he says in verse 29, "Unto you, every one that hath shall be given, and he that hath shall have abundance. But him from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast into unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." From this we learn number 13, we are accountable for the opportunities God sends our way. We are accountable for the opportunity. You know what? I preach in churches every year where the members do not have the opportunities to get engaged in things that produces souls like we do here at Starlight. They don't have that opportunity. For example, this game dinner. Now, some of you could care less about Wild Game, but that's not what this is about. This is just a tool. You ought to be volunteering, and most of you have. I'm preaching to the choir tonight. But you ought to do so because God has given you an opportunity to do something that can touch somebody else's life. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. When somebody comes to you and says, "Hey, look, I need a helper," don't get selfish. Don't go to thinking, "I don't want to give up time." Be thinking, "That's an opportunity." I tell you what, if I were you, I would pray long and hard before I ever turned down a request to do something for Jesus. I'd really pray about it. Is that really how you want to face him? Do you want it? Would you like to sit and see a presentation of your life on the wall? And as that cinema of your life is displayed before everybody and in presence of Almighty God, it goes back and it shows the preacher asking you to help and you saying, "Preacher, not now, not right now." When One of the staff comes to you and says, look, we need some help with a four-year-old group. Would you help us? Listen, if you get somebody else, can you imagine that in the presence of God, you turning down Jesus? How many of you are following me tonight? We're going to be accountable. We're going to be accountable for the opportunities that God sends our way. I want you to bow your head tonight with every head bowed and every eye closed in the room.